morning I'd like to introduce two new members of our church family, and that is Mickey Couch and Noah Waddleworth, and they come to us from Decatur, Illinois. So a very long way. They've escaped the snow, and they just moved down here last month to start Santa Fe. Mickey in exercise science and Noah in sports medicine. Mickey and Noah, would you please stand? Welcome to our church family. Thanks. You may be seated. I hope you enjoyed Trent Wheeler's lesson last week. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I enjoyed it so much that I decided to call my lesson by the same name, and that is lasting love. And that's from Paul's perspective this time, and you can consider this a part two to Trent's lesson. Last week in Trent's lesson, he shared things that need to be avoided in marriage or any important relationship. And those four things, if you remember from last week, are criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. And any time in Scripture, the Bible tells you to replace something, it tells you to put something in its place instead. And what was to be replaced last week, can I get a glass of water from somebody, please? Thank you. Thank you, John. Appreciate it, brother. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21, as an example, what was replaced was bad habits, sinful habits. And what was to take its place was the fruits of the Spirit we read in Galatians 5, verses 22 in 23. Every time Scripture tells you to take something out of your life, it tells you to put something back in instead. Perfect. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. It's wedding season again in 2021. I have scheduled to do these three weddings coming up in the next few months. I usually do up to 10 weddings a year. In 2020, I did two weddings. And those two weddings were from 10 feet away. And those two weddings were with just the bride and the groom and a couple family and a couple close friends. And I said, I'll do it as long as I get to stay 10 feet away with a mask on, and I'll do this for you. But fortunately, things are opening up a little bit more. I'm still going to be 10 feet away to protect my mom in these 2020 weddings. But I'm so excited to do a wedding for Omar and Jessica, for Nikki and Ryan, and for Marshall and Kat this coming year. And in most weddings, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the passage of Scripture that's used. And I love when Reed did Marissa Vero and Aaron Giles' wedding. And instead of just reading 1 Corinthians 13, he put their names into it. Aaron is patient. Marissa is kind. Aaron is not self-seeking. Marissa is not rude. Back and forth, so on and so forth. And it helps us understand that 1 Corinthians 13 isn't just characteristics that we need to put in our life, but it's characteristics that we need to keep in our life every single moment of every single day, and to practice those things, and to have our names replace the name of love, and to practice what the author of love gives us, to go out and to do those things each and every day. So I'm excited to also read 1 Corinthians 13 and these three weddings coming up in 2021. We are commanded to love by God. 3 points I'm going to give them to you right at the forefront. First of all, God's love is defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Secondly, followers of Christ are to have a deep and abiding love for each other. And thirdly, love is a test of discipleship. Love never fails us. And through these three things, if we'll understand that God's love is defined in 1 Corinthians 13, because it's the author of love that defines it for us, and that if we'll practice this deep and abiding love for each other, that's what really draws people to the church. Amen, church? That love, that deep and abiding love for one another, when people see that and they lack that in today's society, in today's culture, but they see that in our lives, they want that. And we need to invite them to that. And then we'll pass the test of discipleship. Well, let's get into the reading. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Knowing the Bible is one thing. Knowing the author is another. We have to understand that the whole reason we read the Bible together, the whole reason we have Bible classes, the whole reason we get in a personal Bible study is to get to know the author of Scripture, to glorify Him with our lives, to fall deeply in love with Him so that we can deeply share His love with those around us. Some of you may not know, Julie's a pretty good author. She's also a very good artist and a very good musician. She's everything that I'm not. And when I think of Julie and the things that she's good at, I do love reading those things that she writes, the music that she plays. We have a piano in her house. She enjoys that and teaching the girls that. I love all those things, but what it makes me do is fall more deeply in love with my wife. That's the point. Well, let's keep reading. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. This is the latest picture of my 2-year-old. This is Adlin. She turned 2 in July. She had about 20 words in her arsenal. Now that she is 2.5, she has about 200 words in her arsenal of words. And the other day on my day off, we were discussing what to do, and I was like, I have an idea. Why don't we go out onto one of these trails? We've never really been trail walking in the almost 30 years I've been in Gainesville. That'd be a fun thing to do. We can go out and explore and see nature and be outdoors and be safe as a family. And Julie Pipin said, well, I have an idea. Why don't we use some of those gift cards we got at Christmas and go through a couple drive-thrus? And I was like, I like that idea. Let's do that regardless of what else we do. And then Addie says, in her very limited vocabulary, I have idea. Playground! And so Addie won. We went to the playground. It was a Friday morning. A lot of people were in school or at work. Mackenzie is online school, so we went during her break. There was nobody there. We had a great time at the playground. Now, Addie might have been influenced by her 7-year-old sister, Mackenzie, to choose the playground. But whether or not, we know that children, especially young children, are a reflection of us or their siblings or their grandparents. They're reflections of the things that we say and the things that we do. And as Christians, as young Christians, we're a reflection of how much Scripture we take in. We're a reflection of how we're growing in Christ, how we develop our prayer life. So it's so important that we don't just baptize somebody and drop them off, but that we continue to work with people and that we, as young Christians, grow so that we mature in our faith and get deeper into God's Word and get deeper in our prayer life and get deeper in things. If we're just coming and checking in and out, that's not going to cut it on a Sunday or a Wednesday. We need to have this be a part of our everyday life so that we will continually mature in the faith and mature in God's calling for us to love proactively. And now abide faith, hope, love, it says in verse 13, these three, but the greatest of these is love. When I was a student at Harding University, I spent almost every day of my student life here at the football field because I played football. So we were there for practice, we were there for games, we were there a lot. And you would think in the spring we would get a break, but not so much. The coach is like, if you know what's good for you, I can only coach you for a month and change in the spring officially by NCAA rules. But if you know what's good for you, you'll also choose to be there, and we might just check up on you once in a while. And so we were there in the spring too. But instead of hanging out with the same 80 guys, the coach said, I don't care who you work out with, just work out with somebody. I chose to work out with a couple of girls. I found a couple of girls that were walking the track, and believe it or not, their names were Faith and Hope. And they got to be very good friends of mine, so I walked with Faith and Hope. And I'm telling you, this is a true story. Later on in the semester, in the cafeteria, we met a girl named Ann Love Gill. And so I was like, will you come walking with us so that I can walk with Faith, Hope, and Love? Well, she wasn't much of a walker, so she or exercise person, so she didn't come with us at all. So the next time I was at the track, I was walking with Faith and Hope, and I said, you know, this is great, but we're missing the greatest of all, Ann Love. And they thought it was less funny than I did. But it's so important that we walk with faith, with hope, and remember that the greatest of these is love. And 1 Corinthians 13 goes deeper into it. Without love, the most inspired teaching speaking is just a bunch of noise. I'm up here just making a bunch of noise if it's not inspired by God's love. That's God's view of it. We have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, in Paul's words. When I was in eighth grade, this is what I did instead of the pigskin. I thought, my dad was like, you really need to take up a hobby. And I was like, okay. So I brought home a drum set. My parents were like, well, we didn't necessarily mean that hobby, but I decided to join the eighth grade band, and a few weeks in, playing this instrument incessantly in our house, my dad was like, can you choose another hobby, please? It was loud. It was like noise to them. So I did. I traded that in for the pigskin, and the rest was history as I grew up. But to my parents, it was just a bunch of noise. And that's God's view of the things we say and do, for that matter, if it's not motivated by God's love. Even if I had the faith to move mountains, it profits us nothing if it's done without love. Over Thanksgiving, we got to take my mom up to the mountains. The doctor cleared her to go on a little trip. So we got to go up to the Smokies, and we got to go up to North Carolina and social distance and be outdoors and have a really good time with mom. We even got to see a little snow, and that was awesome. But even if I had the faith to move those Smoky Mountains into the ocean, it profits me nothing if it's without God's love at the center of it. Even if we're a martyr for Christ, even if we give away all of our possessions and take care of the poor, it profits us nothing. We're just like any other nonprofit in Gainesville. If we do these things and do giveaways, but we do it without love. One thing I really miss that I've really missed in 2020 and 2021 so far is getting to feed the homeless at St. Francis House. Now, we still drop off foods. Many of you make food. I drop it off now instead of the college students. And I really miss getting to meet with the homeless in person, getting to hear their stories, not just serve them, but talk to them and pray with them and see if Ron or one of the other members can't be of help to them if there's a particular resource or thing that they need. I really miss giving out, like in this picture with one of our students, coats to the homeless and hats that are made so carefully by Ruby Lee Horn or Nadine Hackler, done in love so that we can give them out in love. This past year, it was just a drop-off. I really miss doing those things in person. But even if we do them in person, whether we do it that way or we just drop them off, if it's not done in love, Scripture says, it profits us zero, nothing. More importantly than the gifts of the Spirit stood the fruit of the Spirit. Patience that suffers long, not quick to punish or retaliate wrongs. A patience that's associated with mercy. How often did Jesus tell us to forgive? Up to 70 times 7? Was Jesus really meaning stop at 490 times? I don't think so. I think the point is to forgive as God forgives us. To be patient with others in such a loving way, and with the same kind of patience that God exhibits in our life. Love is kind. It's sympathetic. It's caring towards others. And again, it's proactive. I told the college students this on Wednesday night. If you had $1,440 that you found in your bank account tomorrow, not stimulus money, but $1,440 that was dropped into your account tomorrow, do you think you'd find a way to spend it? You call the bank, you're like, I don't know what this money's doing here. They're like, we don't know either, but we know it belongs to you. Don't worry about it. You spend it. Here's the only stipulation. You need to spend it within 24 hours or it goes away. It doesn't carry over to the next day, but you have 24 hours. It's yours, Mr. Dillon. It's yours, Mr. Bell. It's yours, whoever you are in the audience. Use it and spend it. Do you think you'd find a way to spend it? Absolutely. And then on Tuesday, you go and check your account. You have $1,440, but you have 24 hours to spend it. And on a Wednesday, and on Thursday, and so on and so forth. Yes, you'd gleefully find a way to use that money to do some good. Now, we have something more important than that. We have 1,440 minutes a day. And why is that so important? Because that's 1,440 minutes you cannot get back. That's 1,440 minutes that God grants us each and every day. I'm so thankful for my family. I'm so thankful for my mom and the time we have still together on this earth. And she's always reminds me, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, but use what you have today. And I guarantee you, she finds ways to use that 1,440 minutes per day to fill it with God's love and to serve other people. Here's my challenge to you. Use at least one of those, and this goes for every member of our church family, use at least one of those 1,440 minutes to do something kind for somebody today. If we'll just use one of those minutes per day to send a quick text or an email or call somebody that we haven't seen in a while, if we'll use that time to show and share God's love with somebody else, it makes all the difference in the world. I can't tell you what I ate for dinner last Thursday, but I can tell you time spent with loved ones. I can remember a kind gesture shown to me, a card from Don and Diane Hall I got on that day, something that we do for somebody else, and something that somebody does for us. We'll always remember that kindness shown. Love is not jealous. It's not boastful or arrogant. It is meek and humble. Not weak, but meek and humble, like Christ walked on this earth, nearly 2,000 years ago. Love does not behave rudely. It always conducts itself with proper decorum and not contempt. It walks away if it needs to. It takes time to pray. And then it takes time to go back to a situation after we've prayed and do things the right way. To do things not with pride, not with contempt, but with God's love at the center of it. Amen, church. Love is not selfish, but it shows a genuine concern for the well-being of other people. There are so many things that take up my time, but I tell you right now, the greatest thing I've learned from my mom and from many of you is to take time to be in that moment when somebody else is talking to you or calls you, to take time to be in that moment with that person and to share how valuable they are in God's sight. Love is not provoked. It doesn't go around with a chip on its shoulder, but it knocks that chip right off. It thinks no evil. Love does not dwell on offenses against others or those who have offended us. Do we ever spend time thinking about some way in which somebody offended us? And it's usually a non-believer. Do we really expect believers or a non-believer to treat us like a believer would? Absolutely not. We need to take time to not get offended so easily, but to show people the difference in what the love of God is doing in the life of a Christ follower. Love cannot find any pleasure in hearing about the moral weakness of another. We know that sin costs. And when sin happens, people are always hurt. And where can people look when they're hurt? Hopefully, to the cross of Christ. And who's going to point them to the cross of Christ? That's up to you and I. Love is never ashamed of the truth. It'll speak the truth in the most difficult of situations. Fake news. Sometimes we get on social media, or the regular news for that matter. We don't know what's real. We don't know what's fake. But we know that what we have is 100% the truth. And we know that what we have needs to be shared with others, right? And who's going to share it? Hopefully not just the three ministers here, but hopefully not just the six elders or the 12 deacons, but hopefully each and every one of us as a member of University City will take time to share the facts with others, to share the truth in love with the world around us. That's the character of love. Love rejoices when the truth is obeyed in response to it. I can't tell you how many times I've cried. I don't often cry, but every time somebody's baptized into Christ, wow, that causes tears. I know it does for I know it does for Steve Hallway. I know it does for Darren Caulfield. The tears of joy every time somebody gives their life to Christ. We've had 300 members of our campus ministry come and go over the last 20 years, and now they're servant leaders in other places all around this country and around the world, and nearly 150 of them were baptized right here, like Brittany right here. And it's so great to think about so many of you that have come to know Christ and that we get to rejoice when the truth is obeyed together as a church family. Love bears all things. It remains steady under trial. It holds another up. We know God's got our back, so then we have others' back, always. It believes all things. It wants to believe the best, regardless of anything else, that we have optimism in believing in other people, even when they disappoint us, that we continue to believe in others so that they might see God in us and that we as imperfect people have been forgiven and loved, and that we might be able to do that for others. It hopes all things. When evidence is adverse, love still hopes for the best. And it endures all things. Love sticks it out. We get to stick it out for others. We get to overcome things like criticism and contempt and defensiveness and stonewalling. And we get to endure all things with those that we love and care for, with our family and our close friends. But we also get to endure all things with the person we just met this morning in our church family. We get to endure all things together. Love never fails. And here's that true mark of discipleship. We know that circumstances, they'll fail us. We know that others will fail us from time to time. We know that we will fail or feel like failures from time to time. But we know God's love in our life, that never fails, ever. And that we can hold God's love in our lives and realize that we've gained the victory, that we are victorious as Christ followers, that we know we have eternity promised to us, that we get heaven, and that we can give that away to others. We continually chip away at all the difficult things that this world throws at us and shares with them the love that never, ever fails. I feel like this is all summed up best in another thing that Paul writes as well. It's Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Please read along with me. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. This is not merely a suggestion that Paul's giving. This is not merely a suggestion that God is giving, but this is a command for us to obey. As Christ forgave us, so we must also forgive others. And in doing so, we might win more for him. That we put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and the list goes on and on. And as we practice these things, the world will see it. But don't just show it. We also need to speak it in love. Here's my two questions. Whether you're going to lunch later on or going home for lunch, or if you're at home online already and you're with your family or with a small group of friends, the two questions for you this morning are these. And they are on a yellow sheet of paper. I'd like you to take one home with you as you exit the foyer this morning. In what practical ways can we share patience, kindness, and forgiveness towards others, even when it's difficult? Even when it's really hard? And the second question is this. What are the spiritual benefits of practicing this towards others, just as Christ does this for us each and every day? If you need the prayers of our church family this morning, or you'd like to become a baptized believer for the very first time and give your life fully to him as you follow him and his love and his commands for our life, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.